first Sunday of 2024, and one of the things that we don't maybe want to think about and that we don't meditate on much is that in one way, we're at the starting line of a new race, you know. And the truth of the matter is that not everybody who starts finishes. And I hope that that isn't the case this year, but it has been the case in previous years in every worshiping body that the people who are there in January aren't always there in December. And it's not because they've left the church, it's because they left God. They started with God, but somewhere along the way they've lost their first love. Somewhere along the way, they've left the faith. They don't believe what they used to believe. Some people go back to the life that they were living before. They go back to the sin. The Bible says they become entangled again. And so, not everybody who starts the race finishes the race. And one of the things that you see in the Bible, particularly in the writings of the Apostle Paul, is this consciousness that I've started, that's good, but I've got to finish what I've started. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books, and some say he wrote Hebrews. If he did, that's 14 out of 27. That's not half the New Testament because he wrote some of the shorter books, but he wrote a lot of the New Testament. And repeatedly in his writings, you see his mindset that he is thinking about finishing what he started. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, "But I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." You get the feel there, don't you? I have started and I am preaching, but I have got to finish what I've started. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Powerful passage. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware." Some translations say ignorant. I had a friend in Kentucky always said ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. That all our fathers were under the cloud. He's talking about all those folks who came out of captivity in Egypt in the Old Testament. They are all under the cloud. All passed through the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. A lot of depth there. I'm not going to dig into it right now. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. See what he's saying there? He's saying they all left captivity. They were slaves, and when they passed through the Red Sea, they could say, "We are slaves no longer." But they were disobedient. They were grouches. They were headed for the promised land, but they never made it there because they didn't finish what they started. They died in the wilderness. And he said, that's an example for people like you and I. 2 Timothy 4:7, some of the last words we have that Paul wrote. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith." Others didn't finish the race. Not everybody kept the faith, but I kept the faith and I have finished my course. It's important to start. It's also maybe even more important to finish what you've started. The question is, well, how do you finish well? If you start January 7th, 2024, I'm in this race. At least want to make it to December of 2024. I want to make it all the way to the end. But how do I make it to the end in the faith, having not lost my first love? And I think that's what Paul's getting at in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. I want to settle on these verses. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's unpack that for just a few moments here. Paul says, here's how you finish. The first thing you do in January 7th or on January 7th, 2024, if you're sitting at the Greenville First Church of God, the first thing you do is you say, the past is the past. Those things have passed away, and I'm looking to the future. In other words, you say, it's 2024, and I'm not going to live in 2023. The things that happened then, I'm turning my back, and I'm looking at 2024. I'm pressing forward. Now, what should you be turning your back on? What should I be turning my back on? Well, first of all, are the failures of 2023. And there are some failures in my life in 2023. There are some things I wish I hadn't said. There are parts of some sermons I probably shouldn't have preached. My wife, you know, that's another thing. Shouldn't have said everything I said in 2023. There are some failures that I had. There are some things that I had to repent of in 2023. There are some days that I wish I could relive in 2023. I can't do that, but I can look forward to 2024. I can put 2023 under the blood. There are some old grudges in 2023 that you shouldn't carry into 2024 either. It's amazing. I'm sure some of you did some nasty things to me and I didn't know about it. But I can't remember anything anybody did to me in 2024. I was sitting there thinking, who was a scumbag and did something terrible? I can't think of anything. Praise the Lord that God covered me from all the nastiness in the world, I guess. But some of you can't say that. Some stuff in 2023 that people did to you. And you need to leave that in 2023. Just leave it there. In fact, Romans 12 says that you ought to give it to the Lord and say, vengeance is His, He will repay. If somebody needs a punch in the nose, just leave it to the Lord. If somebody needs some upcompetence, that's a word I think, leave it to the Lord. Just leave those things to the Lord. I mean, listen, the Lord is fabulous at getting even with people. Just leave them. You stink at it. You go on Facebook and you act all hostile and you think you've got even and they don't even check their Facebook. You're not even one of the 25 people whose feeds they see. And you think you got them, but you didn't. But the Lord, here's what the Lord can do, because He's got a history of this. They can be out there fishing and He can just send a giant catfish to eat them if He wants to. He can do stuff like that. He can cause it not to rain for 3.5 years in their backyard. Everybody else is getting rain but them. He could do that if He wanted to. He could cause it where they go in and they turn on the bath and just blood comes out of the tub, out of the faucet. He's done stuff like that. He can overrun their house with frogs. He is not limited in getting even with people. He's got a complete toolbox of getting even if somebody needs to get evened with. So leave it to Him. Leave that stuff in the past. And then leave some of the success in the past. Keep thanking God for what He's done for you. But having said that, you can't live back there. You need God today. There are victories in the past, but don't be one of those people for the next 30 years. Keep talking about the victories of 2023 and nothing else has happened in your life. There are mountains to take. There are victories to be had in the future. There is a Spirit who wants to do something right now. He's a right now God. And so Paul says, listen, one of the things I've done is I've put all the nastiness I did in the past. I put all the nastiness everybody else did to me in the past. I put a lot of the successes in the past. I am looking forward. And then this is what he says. Actually, he doesn't say looking forward. He says twice, I am pressing forward. Now, press in other places is interpreted persecuted. What it means is you grind down on it. I mean, you dig hard, you dig deep. Now, why do you have to press? And the answer is usually because if you don't press, it's not going to happen. The reason you have to press is because in normal situations, it's not going to happen unless I focus my energy and attention and I drive hard at it. And he says, that's what I do. I press forward. I drive hard to the future. Now, you see, there are people who are pressers. Some are depressers. Usually it's one and the same, but there are pressers. And again, a person who presses is a person that will grind you until they get what they want. You don't want to run into them in a hallway because they will block your path. I mean, you got to walk crooked and get around them. They are in you, and they're not going to turn you loose till they get what they want. They press you like cats, people with a cat mentality. A cat, if it knows it doesn't like you, will not leave you alone. And it'll wait till you got black pants to really work your leg over. That's the mentality of a cat. That's how you know cats are demon-possessed. That's what Satan will do. If he knows you don't like him, he'll work you over. He'll stay right there, man. But people who are pressers or pushy, they have that mentality of just grabbing on and not letting go. Now, it's not always bad to be a presser. There are people who are happily married today because somebody was a presser, you know. First time he asked you out for coffee, you said no because you didn't like him. Then he saw you and he said, hey, how about a romantic meal down at Captain D's? You like fish sandwiches, don't you? And you didn't like him or fish sandwiches. You said no. And he asked you to the monster truck rally when it was in town and to the fair and then over to his grandma's for 4th of July burgers. You said no, 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 no. But then he caught you one night after somebody broke your heart. He comes over and he's got a hanky and he gives it one more time, lets you dry your eyes. And all of a sudden, he and that fish sandwich are looking pretty good. And now, you're sitting together, you're worshiping the Lord. Look how blessed you are because you had a man who wouldn't take no for an answer. Remember that lady in Luke chapter 18, and widow, her husband has died, and she wants the judge to get justice for her. Apparently, maybe he had been murdered or something. She wants the judge to do something about it, and she keeps knocking at his door. He won't answer, and finally he says, I'll do it to get rid of her. She was a presser, and the Bible calls her the persistent widow. I don't think that's what the judge called her, but the Bible calls her the persistent widow. It helps to press. Remember Mark chapter 2, these guys have their friend, and Jesus is in the house, and he's teaching, and these guys have got to get their friend on the stretcher to Jesus, and nobody will give up their front row seat to Jesus. For them, they got a front row seat in front of Jesus. And so the Bible says, for the press of the crowd, they can't get through. But in response to the press, they press. And that's what you got to do. When the press comes, you got to press to get to Jesus. They make the hole in the roof. They lower their buddy down. See, if you're going to get where Jesus wants you to get this year, you got to press. It's not going to happen by itself. You got to press. 2024, Satan is not going to retire. He's not moving to California, although that's where his headquarters are. But he's not going to stay in California. He is going to keep pressing against you. He's going to keep pressing against me. You and I will have enough temptation in 2024 to blow up our lives. You and I will have enough temptation as husbands and wives to blow up our marriages. You and I will have enough temptation to end up in jail. You and I are going to be tested. And if we just, you know, have a very easy mentality about sin, you and I are not going to finish well. What's the old line? A lie is an abomination to God, but it's a very present help in time of need. You and I are going to have many times in 2024 when a lie would be a very present help in your time of need. You're going to have that temptation. I saw a hoodie a woman had, and it said, half hood, half holy. That's all hood. Yeah, I mean, half holy. But you and I are going to have those situations where we're tempted to be at least half hood in the situation. You and I are going to have to press. You have to turn from the past, leave the past in the past, and press. Drive to the future. Now, there are people here who are perhaps hearing this as a motivational speech. This is a sermon. This isn't a motivational speech. Have I been smiling all this time? No, it's a sermon. Motivational speech, you say with a smile, this is a sermon. Now, and you hear that and you say, oh, wow. That's what I got to do in 2024. Praise the Lord. I got to turn from the past, leave 2023 in the past, and I got to drive to the glorious future. So, that means I got to get my hair done, and I got to get new nails, and I'm going to get rid of that lazy bum of a husband, and I got to get a new job, and the past is the past, but praise the Lord, there's something better for me in the future. That's not what this text is saying. When it says we press to the future, the context of that is verse 12. Verse 14 is really a repeat of verse 12. Can you put verse 12 back up, Bill? He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now that's the context. The picture here is that here's Paul, and he wasn't looking for Jesus one day, but Jesus grabbed hold of him. He tackled Peter or Paul on the Damascus Road, but I don't know where Jesus found you, but wherever it was, he had to reach down to get you. He got you out of sin. He got you out of addiction. He got you out of despair, and he pulled you up. He saved you. He got hold of you. And now Paul says, my life is about holding on to him. Now, Jesus is going forward. Jesus is going forward victoriously. So for me to go forward, and again, there's pressure on me, but if I'll grab hold of Jesus and go forward with Jesus, that's what that passage is getting at. That's the way to victory. I mean, Chris, come here, help me. Help me. We're going to do a demonstration. Come here. This is Jesus. So Jesus got hold of Paul. Now, turn around, Jesus. So, Paul gets hold of Jesus. Start walking, Jesus. And there's temptation. There's that group, and they're saying, oh, hey, we're having a birthday party over at the Hyperion. And there's the pressure, and three people call you, and they say, come on, you got to go there. But you know all they're going to do is get silly drunk. And you say, Jesus, go. No. I'm falling, holding on to Jesus. I'm not going to the Hyperion Grill. I'm not going down there. And then there's the people I hate. I'm going to get them. I'm going to go that way, Jesus. And it's like I got a score to settle in 2023. But Jesus isn't going to 2023. He's going to 2024. So I'm going to hold on to Jesus. And there's the old girlfriend, and she says, you know what? It's Friday night, and it's 10 o'clock. Go that way, Jesus. It's 10 o'clock, and I just want to come over and talk. Well, no girl wants to come over at 10 o'clock and talk on Friday night. Lord, I'm gone with Jesus. And then, see, you're holding on to Jesus. There's a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses. They got a new Jesus. No, I'm going with Jesus. Here I am. I'm laying in bed Sunday morning. I wonder where Jesus is on Sunday morning. He's in church. I'm getting out of bed. I'm going with Jesus. Now, here's the thing. When you walk with Jesus, you also have to be in agreement with Jesus. Amos chapter 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So, not only am I holding on to him as we're fighting temptation, just run, no, I'm just down that pew. But this is my mentality. I'm saying, Jesus, what do you think about pot smoking, Jesus? What do you think about that, Jesus? You for it or against it? Well, then I'm with you, Jesus. I'm the first five ones. What do you think about cussing, Jesus? You think Christians ought to be cussing? Nope. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. What do you think about watching movies with taking the Lord's name in vain, stuff like that? Like cussing. No. I shouldn't be watching. Okay, I'm with you. What about white lies? Are there anything such thing as white lies, Jesus?
No, killer, just a lie.
Oh, I'm with you. I agree with that. What do you think about going to Hooters? I'm just eating the chicken wings. I just go for the chicken wings. Is that right or wrong for a Christian?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. What about that Cardi B music? You think I should be listening to something like that?
Who?
Yeah, I don't know who she is either. But I'm with you. What about all that beer drinking, cheating country music the Christians like to listen to? Think they ought to be listening to that stuff?
Nope.
Oh, I'm with you. What about missionary dating? Well, evangelistic dating. A girl dates the guy in hopes of getting him saved. Is that a good thing? No, the answer is no, Jesus. No, no. I'll hold on to you, Jesus. What about all those gals? I don't need to go there. I did some. See, the thing is, I'm sorry, I messed up your cup. The thing is, it's not that I'm out there going forward in my own thoughts. It's that I have taken hold of Jesus. He's going forward. He's not stopping at the temptations. And as I'm holding on to him, I'm not stopping at the temptations either. I am walking in agreement with Jesus Christ. I've taken hold of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. As you turn to 2023, I'm turning to 2024. I've taken hold of Jesus. I am, because there's going to be some pressure. There's things that are going to try to loosen my grip on Jesus, but he's going forward. I'm holding on to him. I'm pressing forward. Here's the other thing we have to do, and this is the last part of that. We have to realize that that's the prize. It's the grip that's the prize. He says here, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. In other words, here's the thing. I'm not just looking for heaven. See, if you're trying to live the Christian life, and it's like, this is terrible, this is tough, this is rough, but someday, if I eat healthy, long time from now, I'll be in heaven and I'll be worthwhile. Well, that's not a great way to survive today's temptations. It's helpful, but what you got to say is, listen, I've got hold of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Spirit. I know the truth. Jesus Christ has loved me. He's called me his own. He's with me right now. I've laid hold of him. That's the prize. I got Jesus. Remember that place in, some of you have started maybe reading through the Bible in a year. And if you have, you've hit Genesis 14 probably by now. And in Genesis 14, Abraham has to go save Lot. Lot's in Sodom. And Sodom gets overran by a bunch of banshees. They take a bunch of captives and they take all their money. They take all their gold. And so Abraham takes 300 and I think it was 12 guys. He goes after Lot, gets Lot back. Lot and his girls were captives. Gets all the money back, goes back to the king of Sodom and says, here's all your stuff. The king of Sodom is so happy. He says, Abraham, just give us back the people. You can keep all our money, all the gold, all the silver. You can have, Abraham. Just take it. That's your reward for saving this town. And it must have been a lot of money. And Abraham says, no, I'm not taking your money because I'm already rich, first of all. And God promised that I would be richer yet. And if I take your money, people are going to think I'm rich because of your money. And I want them to understand I'm rich because of God's blessing in my life. And God hears that. And in Genesis chapter 15, the verse, maybe verse 3, somewhere very early in Genesis 15, God comes to him and says, like, well done, Abraham. I am your exceeding great reward. Now think about that. God comes to him and says, because of what you did, you've got me. And I'm just not your reward, but I am your great reward. And I'm just not your great reward. I am your exceeding great reward. If you've got me, you got something better than all the money, all the popularity. You got, listen, there's nothing in Sodom that's better than my favor on your life, Abraham. And that's what you've got. That's an amazing thing. When you say, I've laid hold of Christ, I've got Christ. Holy cow, you've got it all, man. You've got it all. Remember, there's an old preacher named Clovis Chapel, and I've used this illustration before. He told about a guy he knew who was standing on the Eads Bridge, which is a large bridge going out of St. Louis. It was right after the stock market crash of 1929, and he was standing there, and a policeman came up to him, and maybe he knew the policeman. I don't know how he knew the story, come to think of it, but... The man was standing there having lost everything, and he told the policeman to get back. He said, I know there's something more important than money, but I've forgotten what it is. And listen, there's something more important than money. There's something more important than drugs. Something more important than popularity. Or fame. There's something more important than your health. There's something more important than anything this world have to offer you. It's having laid hold of Jesus Christ and knowing you have Jesus, knowing that your hand is in His hand. Do you know how blessed you are? You know, when we talk about Christianity, people say it's hard to count. You can't count how many Christians there are, but people say Christians make up about 25% of the world. About 8 billion people, Christians are about 2 billion. But you and I know that's not true. That can't be true. Because when you look at those numbers, and I use those numbers sometimes, but you know those numbers can't be right because it says like Mexico's 75% Christian. You know that can't be true. It says like, some say America is 65 to 75% Christian. You and I know that's a low-down, dirty lie. That can't be true. I saw something about Finland last week. Finland, when they do the numbers, Finland is 67% Christian. But then when they went into the numbers, 67%, two out of every three Finlanders, I guess, are Christian, but only 8% are practicing Christians. You know what a professing, non-practicing Christian is? It's a non-Christian. It's a deceived Christian. And so when you look at the numbers, like Europe is 65% Christian, according to these people, you know that it's not 2 billion. You know it's probably not a billion. You know it's going to be a stretch to get to 500 million. And then you take all the people who are practicing Christians, and they're in very woke churches. I mean, you saw the United Methodists in England sent out the letter to their pastors to stop using the words husband and wife, that it would be offensive to their congregants, or many of them. I mean, you know what a woke Christian is? Non-Christian. What a woke Christian is. Or at least a very deceived Christian. So you take the people who are professing but aren't practicing, you throw them out. You take the people who are in very deceived situations, and you get down to the people who know the book, who have been born again, who know what it's like to have a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying you get down to 144,000, but you're getting down to a very low number of people. And if that's you today, you are a blessed person to know it, to have experienced it, to be led by the Spirit. You are a very rare person. You are in a very, 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 very small minority. Man, that's your reward right there. That's the blessing. Thank God heaven is coming. But I have known, I have seen, I have experienced, I am holding on to Jesus. Thanks be to God. That's good enough for me. And if you're going to make it through 2023, you got to remember that. See, listen, the rock shouldn't be praising for me. The rocks aren't going to be praising for me. I got some stuff that maybe comes into my life that I don't like, but I have the greatest blessing. I got the pearl of great price. I can deal with all the other stuff in my life. I wonder today if you'll stand. Stand with me. I told Thomas, just come up here and do some worship, man. I don't know if I've got you feeling like worshiping, but I feel like worshiping. And I wonder today if, first of all, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. Because there are some people here today who have known Jesus, who know Him, be led by the Spirit, and you just want to worship in this moment. But there are some other folk, and maybe you're the same folk, who haven't, you know, it's 7 days into January. And you haven't yet turned loose of 2023 yet. There's some failures. There's some mistakes back there. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you've never come to Christ before in your life. And it's just not 2023 you need to put under the blood. It's your whole life you need to put under the blood. Say, Jesus, I repent. Forgive me. I believe you're who you said you were. And I want the past to be the past. Put it in the sea of your forgetfulness. I'm ready to move on. Might need to do that today. There's some folks here who got some hurts in the past, and you're still wrestling with those. Are you going to wrestle with those all the way through July, August, September, October, November? Are you going to be surfing Facebook for this entire year to see what they're saying about you? Why don't you put it in the past? Let it be done. Let it go. Let it go, Joe. Let it go. Maybe you have some great successes in the past. Thank the Lord for that. You took some mountains. Why don't you ask the Lord, as you think about 2024, to give you some greater mountains? Remember Caleb, 80 years old, give me that mountain. I wonder if you'd pray that way today. Maybe your mountain's an unsaved kid today. Maybe it's a life that's tore up from the floor up in some ways. Although the Lord is blessing you, there's some stuff going on that's got to get fixed. And you say, Lord, I want to be an overcomer in 2024. Give me that mountain to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's get ready to finish this year. Let's finish. We're starting. But let's finish with a fervency in our faith. Let's finish with our first love intact. Let's not be led astray. Let's be overcomers by the grace of God. Father, I pray for those who stand here.